Maureen John Campbell is the Senate President Pro Tem. He's the head of the Vermont Senate. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I want to get a sense from you on some of these bills and what the likely prospects are of them, the ones that have been passed out of the House here, and what significance they might have and really what the Senate might see as deficiencies or weaknesses in them. Is that fair
sure.
with you?
All yeah.
right. Let's start with the water bill. And actually, you know, let me get some feedback from you on this. I'm hearing a little bit from House leadership that they feel this year, as opposed to past years, they have a less clear idea what the Senate is going to do with some of these bills. Is that fair to say? Do you think the communication is as robust as it's been in the past?
Well, does that mean we're trying to keep secrets from them? No, I don't think that that's the case. I think that the reason why some might feel that there's the communication is not as open as it, because there are so many volatile issues, so many kind of hot button issues that we have been dealing with. Number one, number two, the fact that the revenue issue and the fiscal problems that we're facing have also overshadowed and really kind of taken away our time, at least the Speaker and I, from, you know, are the chances of us meeting and having further discussions.
All right, so it's just the enormity of the problems out there?
Yeah, I would say so. That's one of them, yeah.
Right. We could actually do this in Yankee Stadium, and it would probably be less noisy, but that's...
I was going to say, this is really,
it's really
quite noisy.
Yeah, usually it's not quite as active here, and usually not on a good Friday either, I would say.
I know.
Most people are kind of have left. The Lake bill passed out of the House. It's got about $8 million in funding from the property transfer tax. What's your feeling about that?
I'm not a big fan of the property transfer tax in order to do with this. But let me say, first of all, that I think the water issue and taking care of our lakes, streams, is probably one of the most important issues that we will be dealing with this year. This is critical to, I think, the future of Vermont, not just from an economic standpoint, because there is quite frankly, if you think about all the things that happen on the water, people coming here from all parts of the world to fish in our streams, to sail in the lake. This is something that's very, very important. But also from a, you know, quality of life issue. You know, when I hear stories that not only, pets who might have jumped in the lake before coming out and getting sick and kids can't swim in some of the lakes and that's quite disturbing. I mean, this is Vermont. I mean, if there's one thing that people look to Vermont, it's that bucolic beauty and the fact that we have an environment that is ripe for a vacationing and for leisure.
So what's a better way to fund this?
Well, my way that I've suggested, and I've been working with Bobby Starr, who's the chair of our agriculture, is not. I don't think it's the favorite of the administration, but so be it. And that is a parcel fee. And the reason I thought that a parcel fee would be appropriate is because I think every person, every Vermonter, really should take a role in the future of our lakes and streams and our waterways. And number one, and number two, you're talking about a very small amount of money that is going to be an investment into the future, investment for their children and their grandchildren. The property transfer tax is, it's really not a transparent tax because most people would not even be able to tell you what it means or what it is. I, because having been an attorney, I understand how it works, and the fact is that it's not going to, it's going to affect people who may want to be selling their homes now or in, you know, the near future, and I think it unfairly hits just a small group of people, I feel it should be spread out and also be more transparent.
All right. Let's talk about what the House Ways and Means Committee has been doing in terms of just overall tax structure. They have come up with this idea to cap the deductions that you could take at 2.5 what the standard deduction is. I know the Senate Finance Committee seems to be going in a totally different direction.
I think we are probably on trains to a different locale, yes.
Okay.
You know, the thing is with the House, and you, people have to understand, is that they're the ones that come up with the initial tax package. And so I think what they try to do is they get a number and they figure what is it, how are we going to be able to fill that hole or come up with that figure. And so they're they are you know, put in a situation where it's very tough for them to look at all of the ramifications of some of the actions that they're taking. So they're going to come up with certain taxes that are you know, might have been recommended by one or two of the members and put it in there. If it works, great. But they also know that there is a little bit more added time in which the Senate can take a look at those and also come up with their own ideas, and then at the end find out what kind of compromise we can find. So the mortgage, the cap on the mortgage deductions, I don't think that we are in discussing this with Tim Ash, who's our chair of finance. I don't think that's the way we're going to go. Nor do I think the cap on the charitable deductions. I mean, that's one where I know that once that was announced, there was probably a ripple going through the nonprofit sector concerning, you know, their concerns as to, you know, how they're going to be able to continue to operate. And we feel that there's just some other ways that might be better overall and take a more surgical approach, if you will.
More surgical approach?
Yeah, and I think what we're looking at is, and I think that you'll see that the Finance Committee is going to be looking at over the next few weeks, is to broaden the whole base of our tax structure, of our sales tax. And then, and if you do that, you will be able to lower the actual tax rate, you know, the sales tax rate. And so I think that there's, that they'll be looking at a, probably a broader array of areas to go to, and this way it will be able to lessen the impact on any one thing.
Do you think you could really get through an expansion of the sales tax onto services in the last sort of month here in this session?
Well, first of all, the services weren't exactly, I didn't mention that. I guess that was, you know, that mentioned the, you, some of the things that you brought up. So there are certain services that, you know, business-to-business services that I don't think would be included in this. And I think that the conversation of that has really been, you know, we've had it for the past few years. I mean, mm-hmm. Not that it's, and it was never really anything that was intended, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago. We knew that there was, when we were looking at the Blue Ribbon Tax Panel Committee's report, this was something that was going to take several years in discussion. So I think you're going to see more action there and more activity there. And so I would look to Senator Ash, who's doing an absolutely fantastic job at that position. I think it's going to be, it's going to certainly, it's going to bring us into a situation where we are going to be able to have a conversation that will eventually lead to something that I believe will be overall more palatable for Vermonters.
You think that could be done, though, this year? Because you have a problem this year you got to deal with.
Right, we do, and it's called a shortfall. So I believe that the discussion will be there. Exactly how far Senator Ash and his committee want to go with the service aspect of this, that is still up for discussion. And this may one aspect of the tax of the revenue may end up to be a 2-year process. We'll have to wait and see what happens in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, but you can't wait 2 years to fill this hole.
No, and that's why we will make sure that there are other areas that we would be able to look to fill the hole. And we're not going out without coming up with the revenues necessary to find to deal with the shortfall. And as you know, you know, we have it's approximately $108 million, and the one thing that I've told our members, and I feel that they agree, is that we're not going to do this, we're not going to be able to do this completely through cuts. We're not going to go and dismiss that many or have that many job cuts, number one, or close in wholesale programs. In this time frame, there has to be a revenue aspect of this, and I believe that when all said and done, you're probably going to be looking at somewhere between $30 and $35 million that we'll have, that the Senate will be recommending for new revenue.
Would there be any logic to accepting what the House is doing for this year and then moving to this more larger change you're talking about next year?
I think there's a possibility of that. Now, again, that's what the whole, that's what the committee process is about. And it's not as if they've been waiting to just till the House finishes. They have been doing their work since the beginning of the session. So they certainly have been paying attention and listening to what the House has recommended. And so now it is for them to start putting on paper where the direction they want to go in.
So I'll take a call from Hyde Park. Mac, good morning.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mark, how are you?
Excellent.
Mac,
hey,
I'm sorry.
I have a question
Mac.
For you. When you say
it's loud out here, Mac.
Tax, does that mean property tax?
Well, it's the parcel fee is clearly it would be on a property. So what they're talking about is approximately $25 per parcel for a year. And that, you know, one could term it as a property tax. I look at it as an investment, and it's a, you know, it would be a fee. And but it's one where I think you have to look to see what we're doing with the fund. It would be going into a special fund that is dedicated solely and only for the cleanup of our waterways.
Yeah, well, you'll have to forgive me, but I, on the one hand, some of you are down there trying to reduce our property taxes, and then you come with a proposal to increase them. So I would ask you to just to consider, when you're legislating, that what Vermont needs is lower taxes and less regulation. And I understand we need to clean up the lake, and I do believe in that. But
yeah,
I wish you could find a way to cut some other spending and use that money to clean the lake.
And Mac, and that's fair, and I can tell you right now, with the number that had the cost that attributed to what the lake or the cost to clean that up, and not just the lake but also the inland waterways, you're talking a huge amount of money. And the fact is that there we could not find enough cuts to take care of that alone. And quite frankly, again, this is something where you're talking about, you know, what could really amount to basically 50 cents a week for people to invest in the making sure that their waterways are clean. And, you know, also, honestly, is that they're, you know, I think our biggest job is to, you know, convince that there are people on the lower part of the southern part of the state and the Northeast Kingdom, even though that they still have waterways over there, that this is something that all Vermonters should and want to be a part of.
Yeah, and I agree that we need to chip in and fix the lake. There's no question. But you also understand my skepticism when somebody says, oh, yeah, well, we're just going to add this on. I just ask you to bear that in mind because we are struggling with too much regulation and too much taxation, and it's hurting us.
And your message is heard loud and clear, and unfortunately, sometimes we have to make decisions here that are not seen as, you know, back home. I know what it's like with the as far as the amount of taxes that we're facing right now, and I join you in thinking that we are a state that has reached a capacity when it comes down to taxation. And unfortunately, because the cost of things such as health care and other things that keep on going up and increasing at a unsustainable rate, until we get a hold of that, you know, we're almost damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Thank you, Mac. I appreciate your call.
244-1770.
You too.
Thanks, Mac.
244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. Toll free 877-291-8255. The House bill to consolidate districts, the education bill, and also they've talked about capping spending here for the next couple of years. Is that actually going to make any difference?
Well, you know, and it was interesting, Dave Sharp, I saw an interview of Dave, who is the chair of the House Education Committee, who I think has done an incredible job, you know, with getting something together for this year. The question came, well, if we talk about consolidation and whether it be supervisory unions or districts, is that going to save money? You know, is that going to be dropping the property tax liability that one would have? And the answer he gave was, no, not you're not going to all of a sudden see a penny or 2 cents off of your sales tax. I mean, off of your property tax. But what you are going to see is you're going to see that the cost overall is not going to rise at the same level it has. And so I think you look at it two ways. One, structure change of our education system, to me, is needed not just from a standpoint of getting a lower tax rate, but also in the educational opportunity that we're providing our children, and also realizing that we are now in unfortunately we're in a situation where we do not have the number of children to educate that we have in the past, and we can't go on continuing to have schools that are classrooms that have one, two, five children in it, and expect to have to be able to do something that would effectively lower the cost of education.
Do you think a guy like Mac is going to buy what you just said about that?
I think that what we need to do is, and I guess what I would say to Mac and other people that I'm sure are listening, is that this is not something that was created overnight, and it's not something that's going to be solved overnight. I was met with Rebecca Holcomb yesterday, and I happened to mention to her that I had up in my bookcase a book from 1906 from the Department of Education, and it was talking about all the problems that they were facing. And, Mark, you could read that book right now and put it in 2015, and you would see that we're facing the exact same problems. So there's a couple of ways to look at how we're dealing with the overall educational system, and that is, one, a structural change, and then number two is when we are able to get the structure changed, then would there be a reduction of the overall spending? And that, of course, would relate to a drop in the property taxes. But for me to sit here and for anyone to tell you that what we're doing is going to guarantee them a penny or 2 cents off their tax rate next year, it's not going to happen, because there's too much has to be done. And if we all of a sudden mandate here in Montpelier for schools to start shutting tomorrow, it still would take time to actually do that. So the savings is probably, you know, a couple of years out.
Sounds like the lake in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. I think there's you could make that comparison.
Let's talk, before I let you go here, health care. The governor wanted to spend up to some 90-plus million, draw down more federal money. The House has got this now down to about 20 million. What's the approach the Senate's going to take on this?
Well, the way I look at it, it kind of goes back what Mac was talking about, and that is, you know, how much more do you expect or do you feel that Vermonters can take as far as taxes? And I don't think that there's much more that can be taken. So unless I see that there's some direct correlation between the cost shift significantly being reduced, then I don't see that we should make that move. You know, there's, you know, I'll look and see what the healthcare package is. I haven't seen the total one, but, and I do know, you know, yes, would it be important for us to reduce the cost shift? Absolutely. But if what we're going to do, if you're just raising an amount of money that will not significantly impact that and cause more pain to Vermonters overall, then I don't think it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And I can't support it.
Mm-hmm. Sugar sweetened beverage tax, where are you on this?
I do not support it. I think that it's the wrong thing to do as far as an excise tax. I would not be opposed to raising, if we find we need to raise a tax on soda, that's one thing. But to do an excise tax, which is in essence charging per ounce, not only do I think it's unfair to our businesses and restaurants and establishments that are selling those, but I also think that the implementation of what it would cost $800,000 to $1 million just to implement it. So I find it, that does not make sense at this time. And also, you know, quite honestly, I mean, I am absolutely for trying to reduce obesity in our public. I mean, all of us should be there. But to think that it's just it's a Coke or Pepsi or whatever that's causing the obesity problem, I think is being a bit shallow. And I think you also have to look back at, you know, the study that is, I guess where most of the people who are pushing this are saying, well, look at Mexico. Well, if you're going to look at Mexico, you should probably look at what's going on politically down there, because this whole issue of has a lot to do with the political issues of the sugarcane industry down there. So I just feel that right now Vermonters are trying to get back on their feet from the recession. And until we're able to get back on our feet and have a real strong, foundation, then we should be looking at other ways to help people beat the obesity problem.
So I hear you saying here this is sort of a balance here that you've got. Is the impact too heavy for what you get out of the back end? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. We as Vermonters are facing still a recovery from the recession. As you know, historically, the Northeast is one of the areas that will usually lag behind significantly in the recovery period. And so if we're not able to right now get people back employed to where they're making money and they're able to save money, and we're just asking them to support state government more with taxes, I think it's the wrong idea at this time.
Boy, I'm hearing a lot of, I've heard all morning now reasons why people don't like these taxes.
Yeah. And, I think the main reason is people don't like generally to pay taxes. And, I certainly don't, but I know that I have a responsibility as a citizen, and I have to look to see where my taxes are going. So if a lawmaker makes a rational showing as to why we need the tax or what it has to go to, and if I know that I'm making some significant improvement, let's say in the lake or educating our kids, or making sure people are able to buy medicine, older people are able to buy their medicine, then I'm okay and I'll pay the tax. But if it's going to be the tax is going to go to something as a project to see if it might work, I don't think this is the right time for that.
One call here and we'll let you go. Let's go to Kalish. Jerry, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. I've been listening to your show, and I think that they're going all wrong. I mean, they're taxing everything, and the more you tax and take away from the people that don't make that big of a income, you're going to find that they're either going to move out of the state or be on welfare. And I can't see that that's going to improve everything.
All right, let me interrupt and have him comment. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Hi, Jerry, and that's sort of like what I just said, and that the fact is that right now things are not, we have not made a full recovery, and unless there is a specific reason and rationale for a tax or some type of a fee, because don't forget, we're not the, if you look at some of our neighboring states, let's say New Hampshire for a moment, they don't have certain taxes we have, but they've got fees that would make most lawmakers over here blush. So we're all in a position right now where we've, as lawmakers, I think we've heard that, and I, for one, and in our Senate, we've tried to we're trying to heed that message and act accordingly.
Thank you for your call. John, thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate it.
John Campbell is the president of the Vermont Senate. We'll take a short break. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Senator Kevin Mullen. We're also anticipating being joined by Senator Joe Benning. We'll take a quick break back after this.
Tune in April 6th for an opening day doubleheader on WDEV. First, the Boston Red Sox get their regular season underway in Philadelphia against the Phillies. Airtime is 2:20. Then right after the Red Sox, we'll bring you the Kid and the Geezer Baseball Preview Special. The Kid Jasper Goodman and the Geezer Mal Boerigt will be talking baseball and taking phone calls. The Red Sox season opener and the Kid and the Geezer, Monday, April 6th on your Red Sox station, WDEV, FM and AM.
In times past, spring on a Vermont farm was celebrated with a visit to a sugar house, a place to gather with family, friends, and kids of all ages to enjoy a very important tradition, a sugar on snow party. At Bragg Farm Sugar House, we invite you to our spring celebration of sugar on snow. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all through the maple season, serving times 12 to 5. Enjoy our maple syrup boiled just right, dill pickles, raised donuts, and a beverage. And we know how to make the snow just right, too. No boots or snowshoes needed. You'll see the steam from our sugar house rolling right down Route 14 North, just 1 mile from Dudley's Country Store in East Montpelier, or 5 miles from Barrie or Montpelier. And remember, when it comes to maple creamies at Bragg Farm, you've just got to have one.
I love Hunger Mountain Co-op because as a working member, I get to hang all of the co-op posters you see in town. It keeps me connected to my community, and I get a discount. I'm Karen Gerdell from Montpelier, and I've been a member owner since 1998.
All right, we're back at the State House in Montpelier. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning.